Welcome to this message from the Gannett campus of Charter Oak Church. Pastor Chris Livermore continues the series in his own words with the message, Light of the World. Jesus is light, and Jesus gives light, and darkness cannot extinguish him. This message looks at the three qualities of light.
You know, I'm kind of amazed at how our worship team kind of weaves those multiple songs all together, aren't you? Would you offer them some appreciation for that worship leadership? Thanks, folks, so much. So, hey, did you hear about the guy who went down into a dark basement with a flashlight, and then the battery died? And he said that he wasn't scared. In fact, he was actually delighted. It'll come, okay. And you know, after God created 24 hours of alternating darkness and light, one of the angels asked him, what are you going to do now? And God said, well, I think I'm going to call it a day. Just go with it, okay? Come on. Well, you know, enough of that. I hope the rest of the message is more illuminating. And I hope to be able to shed some light on some things this morning, okay? Really, have you ever tried to accomplish something that, because it was so dark, you just couldn't do it, or it took so much longer? Maybe you've had the experience of being on a deserted highway, and you know, in the middle of the night, one of those moonless nights where there is no light, there's no ambient light from other street lights or anything like that, and you get a flat tire, and you reach in the glove box for a flashlight, and of course, if it's there, the battery is always dead, and you start changing the tire, and you start fumbling around, and you get the lug nuts off, and of course, some of the lug nuts roll away, and in the dark, you're down on your knees, you know, padding, you know, trying to find those things, and what should take you maybe, 20, 30 minutes ends up taking a couple of hours, you know, and you sort of limp on to get the tire fixed. When we can't see, when it's unclear, things are harder. They take longer. And you see, in reality, there are a lot of people going through life. They're trying to do life like that. They're just fumbling, and life is more difficult because they don't have the light of Christ in their life. Now, life is hard. Amen. There is no easy button. There is no easy option. Everybody faces this stuff, and everybody is going through something. And so the light that Jesus offers to you and to me helps prepare us to face the things that we're going to face. And then that light helps bring us through the things that we find ourselves in the midst of. You saw a lot of the scriptures that were flashed up there about light in the Gospels. And Jesus, when he describes himself in the Gospels over and over again, he uses different metaphors. He called himself the bread of heaven. He called himself the living water, the good shepherd, among other things. And in John chapter 8, Jesus talks about himself as the light of the world. You can turn in your Bibles if you have them. They're there in the pews in front of you, or if you're following along on the Bible app, you can find it there in John chapter 8. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. The Pharisees replied, you are making these claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jesus told them, these claims are valid even though I make them about myself. For I know where I am from and where I am going. But you don't know this about me. You judge me by human standards, but I do not judge anyone. And if I did, my judgment would be correct in every respect, because I am not alone. The Father who sent me is with me. Your own law says that if two people agree about something, their witness is accepted as fact. I am one witness. My Father who sent me is the other. Where is your Father? They asked. Jesus answered, since you don't know who I am, you don't know who my Father is. If you knew me, you would also know my Father. Jesus made these statements while he was teaching in the section of the temple known as the treasury. But he was not arrested because his time had not yet come. Now that phrase, his time had not yet come, we sometimes can skip over that one kind of quickly, but in truth, it's very important. It's used often in the Gospel of John, and the reality is God is on God's own timetable. Now, can I be honest with you and say, sometimes I wish God was on my timetable. Anybody with me? Yeah, or if God's not going to follow my timetable, I really wish once in a while God would let me know what his is. Now, of course, if I did that, that would take faith out of the picture. But we know that God, and we know and we trust that God's timing is perfect. And when it comes to Jesus' life and death and then his subsequent resurrection, that all was on God's timetable. The people around him, those who put him to death, they thought that they were determining those events, but in fact, they had no power to do that except God allowed it. And God was on God's timetable, and so we know that did not happen until God was ready for it to happen. And so today, knowing that God is ultimately in charge, we're going to focus on that statement where Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." I am the light of the world. Now, we understand a bit about light. We use it all the time. We enjoy it all the time. We have all kinds of different lights at our disposal. We use them for specific purposes. And even though there are many different kinds that come in many shapes and forms, they all serve basically the same purpose, and that is to illuminate. We have night lights in our kids' room. You know, you have a flashlight in your car. You may have a spotlight in your garage. Or maybe you're like us and on our house on the corners, there are motion detector lights that drives us crazy when the cats go by, you know, and you look out for somebody and they're just out there. And there are lighthouses on the ocean, you know, to help keep the ships safe. And you and I can, you know, can turn lights at our homes and different places on and off with our smartphones. And every light, no matter where it is for illumination. And so when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," he's saying that he is trying to illuminate things in our lives that otherwise would be left in darkness. John chapter 1 says this, "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought," what's it say? Light. His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now, all of those other forms of light that I talked about earlier, all of those can go out. In our house, one of Carla's greatest frustration is that, and I think it's in her touch somehow, every flashlight she touches, the batteries go dead. Every one she picks up, they never work, okay? And if they do, it's only once or twice. Right, Carla? They are gone. And so all of those lights we mentioned, they eventually will burn out. Even LEDs, even though they're said to last for, you know, God knows how long, it eventually goes out. But the light of Jesus never gives out. Jesus says his light cannot be extinguished by anyone in any way at any time. And that is vital for you and I to understand that. How many of us have celebrated a birthday with kids or grandkids? And you use those candles, you know, they're kind of like magic candles. You put them on the cake and you light them. And then when the kid goes to blow out the candles, what do? Yeah, they come back on, and we parents and grandparents have kind of a sadistic sense of humor, and we just love seeing that, you know. The first time they do that, they don't understand what's going on. They can't figure it out. Maybe it's our way of getting back at them for all the diapers, you know, or something. You know, I don't know. The light of Jesus can never be extinguished. He says, "I am the light of the world, and not even darkness can extinguish me." In other words, Jesus is saying, no matter how dark our lives can become, no matter how dark it seems all the situations that we are facing is, Jesus says, "I cannot be extinguished." And you see, what that means is then if we have the light of Jesus living within us, that light that gives life, That means that even on our darkest days, that light cannot be extinguished. Now, for some of you, that's all you needed to hear this morning. Because perhaps there's someone here who does not have the light of Jesus living within them, and you've been facing some dark clouds, you've been facing some dark days, and you're not sure how you're going to get through. Today, you need to understand, and you can receive Christ, and you can have the light of Jesus living within us. One of the things that I love about flying in airplanes is sometimes, and you perhaps have had the same experience, you can take off and on the ground, it's a blustery, dark clouds, rainy day, but as the airplane takes off, it gets to a certain height, what happens? You break through the clouds and what? Glorious sunshine. The light of Christ can never be put out. And he stands ready there to help you and me in those times of the darkest clouds. In other words, you get above them, the sun is still shining. And no matter what clouds there are in your life, the sun, S-O-N, is still shining if you've received that light. Well, let's look at three qualities about light today. First of all, light drives out darkness. You know, we talked, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, about, something that was half iced tea and half lemonade. What do we call that? Yeah. Well, you can't have half darkness and half light. You know that? You either have light or you have dark. Now, you can have varying degrees of light, but darkness and light cannot exist in the same place at the same time. Yeah, you can have more light or less light. You can have subdued light or you can have bright spotlights. But if light is present, darkness, what? Leaves. You can't have both. Darkness and light. You know, picture yourself in the corner of a totally dark room. If someone in the opposite end of that room, flicks a lighter or turns on their phone light, what happens? The darkness begins to be dispelled because light is present. Do you ever notice what happens in a concert? You know, at a certain point in a concert, people put up their phones and what do? Start waving them back and forth. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you don't usually see one person doing that, do you? What happens? Once the light starts, what's it do? It keeps coming. More and more people turn that on. You see, by its very definition, light is the absence of darkness. And you and I sometimes are afraid of darkness. We don't like the darkness. Even though other times we do, and we'll talk more about that later. But what's the first thing we do when we walk into a room and it's dark? What do? We flick the switch because we want light in there. We want the light to drive out the darkness so we can see. John chapter 12, verse 35, Jesus replied, "My light will shine for you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going." Now, some of you are saying, wait a minute, Pastor Chris, you just said that Jesus' light cannot be extinguished, and here he says, my light's only going to be with you a little bit longer. Understand, Jesus is referring to his physical presence on the earth. Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew that all of that was going to take place. And he is referencing the fact that his physical presence would not be with them. He knew the sacrifice that he was going to make. As you go through the Bible, you find that light, there's often a contrast between dark and light. And generally in Scripture, light refers to God, refers to anything good, anything righteous, anything holy, anything perfect. On the other hand, whenever the Bible refers to darkness or the dark, it represents evil or unrighteousness or sin or Satan or the prince of darkness. One of the things I remember my parents telling me as I was growing up was that nothing good happens at 2 a.m. Any of you have parents who said the same thing? And what they were referring to, and our parents understood that, and any students here, you need to understand where your parents are coming from. They are trying to protect you. Because in truth, much of the time, nothing good happens in the dark. And so we have to, Jesus is trying to keep us away from that. You see, physical darkness, darkness physically, sometimes can lead to darkness spiritually. Because you see, what happens is Satan is called the Prince of Darkness, but he masquerades as an angel of the light. Satan knows that everything about him is darkness and everything good is light. And the only way that he can get his work done is to trick us into thinking that some of the dark things are, in fact, light. And that's why sometimes you and I can justify evil because it doesn't look that bad. Or we say it's not that big a deal. And Satan can try to make the dark seem a little less dark. Now, when it comes to light or salvation, there are a lot of metaphors for salvation. When we move from unbelief to belief, from not knowing Jesus to becoming a Jesus follower, we move from death to life, we move from darkness to light. And the Bible uses all of those images to try to project to you and me what occurs as we move from faith to no faith. It does not mean that when we come to Christ that we are so full of light that we get it right all the time, that we are perfect. But the Bible does teach that when we come to faith, we become children of the light. 2 Samuel says this, O Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord lights up my darkness. In other words, you and I struggle with the darkness that surrounds us, and so the light of Jesus is what helps to illuminate our next steps, because his light drives out the darkness. So first, light drives out darkness. Second, light reveals hidden things. Light reveals hidden things. Darkness conceals. Many of you can remember getting up in the middle of the night, maybe going to the bathroom, and because it's dark, you don't notice the toy that one of your kids left on the floor. You realize that there is no pain in the world like stepping on a Lego in your bare feet. Done that, yeah. Light reveals what is there. You see, in darkness, you and I can trip over all kinds of things. We can stub our toes, and the only thing that happens is because that thing that in the light would be so clear to us can trip us and cause us to stumble. Those things would be revealed. Spiritually, Jesus wants to reveal the things that would cause you and me to stumble. Light always reveals. Did you ever notice how things look different under the cover of darkness? Proverbs 20, verse 27 says, the Lord's light, what's the word? Penetrates. The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive. Like a laser, the light of Christ shines and understands, goes past our actions to the motives behind the reasons that we do the things that we do. It is the light of Christ that reveals those things. God's light exposes those things that are done in the dark. And in truth, you and I cannot hide from God. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Light reveals hidden things. John chapter 3, it says this, there's no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people, what? Loved darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. The part that just jumps out of that paragraph to me is, people love darkness more than light. What dominates our newscasts? Positive or negative? Huh? Negative, yeah. Have you noticed what dominates many people's conversations? It's the dark. It's the negative. It's finding fault. God says that we are called to that. There's something within our hearts and souls that kind of wants to lead us in that direction. When Jesus came, people who rejected him did so because they weren't attracted to the light because of their action. And when they did that, then they lived their lives in darkness. And some people just ran away from the light of Jesus because it was too revealing. It showed them exactly how they were living. The light of Christ exposed those areas, those dark areas in their lives, and he illuminated their true motives of their behavior, and Jesus' light revealed to them who they really were. They were living in sin, and darkness represents sin. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, one of the things I want you to know, the light of Jesus living in you. Did you ever wonder why some people just don't like you? Huh? Or they're uncomfortable around you? What sometimes happens is the light of Christ living in you reveals something about them that they don't like. You follow me? So it may be absolutely nothing that you are doing except living the way that God has called you to live, and the very presence of the light of Christ in your life will make them be uncomfortable. Remember what I said? You can't have light and darkness together. Your light begins to drive the darkness out. However, in the time of Jesus, some of them were attracted to the light. Now, some are attracted to light, some are attracted to darkness. Have you ever... What happens if you have a cockroach in a room and you flip on the light? What does a cockroach do? Huh? Runs away. What about you're in dark outside around a campfire or at your house and you flip on the porch light? What do moths do? They are what? They're attracted to the light. So here's a question spiritually. Are we spiritually a cockroach or a moth? Do we want to get away from the light of Christ, or are we attracted to that? So where are you? Where are you? You see, darkness represents our life before we gave our life to Jesus. That we would hate darkness and love the light. But the challenge that you and I face is sometimes we want to be as close to the darkness as we can get without being in the dark. Sort of like a field of cows. Have you ever looked at a field of cows? You know, they're eating, and instead of, they've got this whole great big field, they're right at the fence doing what? Leaning through the fence to eat what's outside the fence. See, sometimes we have to be careful, because even though we have the light of Christ living within us, we want to get just as close as we can to the darkness. They cannot exist at the same time. You see, if you go into a dark room and you stay there for a while, what happens? After a while, what happens to our vision? Night vision kicks in and we can see a little better. If you wait long enough, you know, forms start to come out. You can kind of see the dresser. You can see the shoes over there. And so there's a part of us that can get comfortable in the darkness. And if you stay in the darkness for too long, you can start rationalizing that that's the way life should be. And in fact, if you and I have been in that situation for a while and then somebody flips on the light in the middle of the room, what happens? What do? We what? We recoil because it's so bright. See, it's easy for us if we spend too much time in the darkness. It's easy for us to become used to that. And then the light of Christ just seems so incredibly brilliant. So that's a word of caution. Be careful spending too much time in the dark. Be careful. You see, that's how sin operates in our lives. Sin can sneak up on us. Sin can gradually begin to displace that light in our lives. And the more we dabble in the darkness, the more used to it we become and the more comfortable we become. And then when the light of God comes into our lives, or that habit, that attitude comes into the light and is exposed, the convicting presence of the Holy Spirit begins to show us the way we were walking in darkness. You see, one of the reasons that God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit is so that the penetrating light of God's Word would be driven home into our lives when we are having a struggle with light and darkness. You see, God's light is so penetrating, and it's so targeted. When God's light comes at you and me, if we are followers of His, it goes directly to that closet in our lives that we thought was sealed off, that we thought we could keep it in the dark, and that's the very place that the light of God is targeting your life and in my life. So you see, the very fact that those areas may be bothering you is a sign that the light of Christ is striving to break in. Now understand, when God reveals some of those areas, it can be painful. But very often, the greatest amount of our spiritual growth can take place when we allow the light of Christ to come in. And at that point, as the light of Christ reveals that, it's like, okay, we got to deal with this. God is showing me something that I need to think about. And at that point, we run to the light. The third thing is light is transferable. I know many of you have been to Christmas Eve services, and we had our first one here as a new campus this past Christmas Eve. And if you recall, we have the room almost completely dark, and very often it starts from the Christ candle. You remember that? You start with the light of the Christ candle, and then very often the pastor or the person leading lights their candle, and then they give that candle to the ushers. And then what do the ushers do with the light? Then they pass it on to everyone else. The light of Christ is transferable. And so you hear us talk all the time about our need to invest in the lives of other people and invite them to come and hear the gospel. And what we're talking about is finding a way to transfer the light of Christ that is within you and is within me to your friends and family members who don't have that personal relationship that Laurie was talking about. You see, the light of Christ goes from one person to the next person. And as we invest in their lives, as we invite them into worship, then that exposes them more and more to the light of Christ, and they begin to see their lives in the light of who Jesus is. Matthew 5:14 says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden." You see, the light that lives in you and lives in me is not something that we have manufactured. It's something that Jesus has given to us. And so we then share that with everyone that we meet. We are drawn to that. I love the location of our campus. You know, kind of up here on the hill. And my prayer is that more and more that we will be one of the lights of the city, that people will be drawn to Jesus to shine in our hearts and then through our hearts to everyone around our community. As God grows our love for this city, that the reason that He allows that to grow within us is so we can be conduits, channels of God's love to them. Ephesians says this, "For once in your former life, you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true." John says this, "Put your trust in the light while there is still time, then you will become children of light." See, the point of that scripture verse is that none of us know what tomorrow is about. Now, I have people already contacting me about potential weddings next summer. But does anybody in this room really know what's going to happen next summer? We're not guaranteed that. And so if the light of Christ is not shining in your life, I would encourage you to receive that today. Carla and I were moving from our first apartment to the next place that we were going to live, and we had borrowed a friend's truck, and the truck was in the front yard of our apartment, and we had loaded it all full of things, and we thought we knew what was going to happen in the next 2 weeks. And we got a call from my family that my sister had been in a serious car accident, was taken to a hospital that was near our home. And the truck and our moving plans were put on hold for over a week, as instead of planning on moving into our new apartment, we were planning a funeral and how we were going to live after my sister died. See, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so it's important that you and I be willing to allow the light of Christ to come in now. Twofold invitation as I close. The band wants to come on up. For any of you who do not have the light of Christ within you, why not today? Why not today? You see, it's time to come out of darkness and turn to the light. It's time to understand the light that shines on the darkest night. Now you say, Pastor Chris, it's uncomfortable. Yeah, it is. And you say, Pastor Chris, I've got baggage. Well, you know what? So do I. Coming to Jesus doesn't mean we dump all that stuff. It just means it comes into the light where we can deal with it, where we can have a better understanding of it. And so we say, Jesus, here I am. All the problems, all the issues, shine your light in my life so I can live for you. Now, some of us here, we've already done that. We've already given our hearts to Christ, and the light of Jesus is living within us. But there are some areas in our lives where there's a little darkness going on. Or maybe we've allowed some bitterness or some resentment, or there's a habit that we haven't quite dealt with, or I don't know. The light of Christ wants to help us rid our lives of those things. You know, if you go to a house that's been shut up too long, it has that old musty smell. You know, it doesn't smell real good. What's one of the first things that we do when we come to a room or a house that way? What do? We open the doors. We open the windows. We let the light shine in. We let the wind blow through. And you see, we need to let the light of Christ reveal those areas of our lives that we've let darkness come in. And we need to let the fresh breath of the Holy Spirit blow into our lives so we can start again. Lord Jesus, thank you for your light. Thank you for your light that can never be extinguished. Thank you for your light that illuminates our pathway and helps us to take our next right step. Thank you for the fresh breath of your Holy Spirit and for the ability to use your light to start again. Lord God, your light has illuminated that for some of us, and we pray that you'll give us the courage to take our next step. For those, God, who have not received that light, keep knocking on their door, and may today be the day. Amen.
Thank you for spending this time in worship with all of us here at the campuses of Charter Oak Church. We hope you'll join us next week as we wrap up the series, In His Own Words. In the meantime, if you'd like to learn more about the church or any of the goings-on at the three campuses on Fry Farm Road, Crossroads, or Jeanette, please check out our website at www.charteroak.church.